What a blessing to be in the house of the Lord, my friends, and trust all is well with you, of course, being our Thanksgiving fellowship. And so today, of course, the emphasis would be on being thankful. But I'd like to really encourage us a little bit more and maybe put a little bit more teeth into it. I mean, we've heard it, okay? Be thankful. I know I got to be thankful. God tells us to be thankful. But title of this morning's message, be thankful or else. There you go. So maybe that little twist in it. So be thankful or else. And, you know, speaking on the doctrine of thankfulness, if you will, and it is wonderful to be thankful, right? You know, a thankful Christian is a happy Christian. The key to contentment, the key to happiness is not in getting stuff, but is to be thankful for what you do have. Be thankful for what God gave you. If you're saved, you have eternal life. If you're saved, you'll reign with Christ. If you're saved, You won't go to hell. Amen. That's a good one, right? Praise God. And so to be thankful. But to kind of get us thinking here, you know, we've always heard that the Bible tells us to be thankful, to be thankful, to be thankful. And it kind of got me thinking, okay, but what if I'm not that thankful? What if I'm just kind of thankful? That's not too bad, is it? What's the worst that can happen? Well, I'd like us to look at the tragic story today. The infamous story of Esau in the Bible. And if you don't know, he was the older of two twin boys. And so, but he and his brother had this sibling rivalry. But Esau was very infamous in the Bible, Old Testament story. Now, he was someone that was unfortunately ungrateful, unappreciative, and ultimately unthankful for one of the greatest privileges any child could have, and that is his birthright. Being that he was the firstborn, might have been only just by seconds or minutes, okay? But he was still the firstborn. And so, technically, he was the oldest. And as the firstborn, he had the right of his birthright. The right of the firstborn would be to be the head of the household for dad and kind of take over the family kind of thing when dad passes on. And the firstborn would also get a double portion, a double portion of inheritance. And so he'll get twice any other sibling. Okay, so that was his right. But he didn't quite think much about it in the moment. And so he sold it to his twin brother, Jacob. And so perhaps we know that story, but we'll look at that later. But years later, you fast forward years later, he regretted it. He wished he didn't do it, but he did it. And the Bible tells us just very heartbreakingly, he tried to undo it. He tried to repent. I mean, he felt bad about it. He tried to repent, but he could not find repentance, meaning he couldn't undo it. Once you sell out, my friends, it's gone. Don't sell out. Be thankful for what you have. And yes, I know we say that all the time, you know, we don't miss something till it's gone. I mean, and that's true, but it's very, very sad. May we appreciate what we do have. Be thankful for it. If we are not thankful, you know, we think, well, what's the worst that can happen? Well, if we are not thankful as much as we should be, we are going to be very prone to selling out. And then we'll regret it later, but then it's too late. Damage has been done. Okay, and so I just want us to be challenged by God's holy word. Don't sell out. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. In fact, it's actually the New Testament book of Hebrews. New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12, but it speaks about the Old Testament story of Esau selling his birthright. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read a couple of verses and then ask God's blessing on the message. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and then verse 16. And the writer to the Hebrews, now these are Jewish believers. So they are Jewish Christians as opposed to Gentile Christians. Or, you know, and so these are Jewish believers. And so they're saved. But they are reminded, don't sell out. Don't be like this guy, okay? Don't be like Esau. And so Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. And it's a very, very tragic story because he had it. He just didn't want it. And then later on, he changed his mind, but too late. Okay, so let's go to verse 16 and look at how God calls him. God gave it to him by his grace. He didn't deserve to be the firstborn. God chose him to be the firstborn, but he made light of it. So God says in verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And so let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of eternal life that we cannot lose. And it's simply ours forever by believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, his death and resurrection. And so, Father, we thank you so much for your word that you've given to us, the complete word and mind and will of God, that we have it in our hands. Help us, Lord, to cherish it, to never sell it out, Lord, and to always cling to it, to live for it, and one day we will die by it. And so, Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the privilege that we can assemble today. Father, we don't deserve the blessings you've given us. Help us to not, make light of it. Help us to truly appreciate all that you've given to us. Every breath that we take, every beat of our heart, Father, we are so thankful for. Help us to live for you and to never sell out. And so, Father, we ask that you have your way and your will in today's service. We pray, Father, if there's any soul that's not saved, I pray, Father, even today that they would repent of their unbelief in Jesus Christ and once and forever believe in him. Simply put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for them and as their personal Savior to be saved and born again. And so, Father, we love you. Anoint these lips of clay. Father, I confess I can't do it. I need you, Father. Please may your word go forth with Holy Spirit power and draw sinners to thyself. Save sinners and edify saints. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, poor story here of Esau. God calls him a fornicator. He did end up marrying heathen wives, and so yes. But the idea here is, of course, that what God gave him, he didn't quite care for it. He despised it. He looked down on it. He went the way of the world. He did his own thing. And so he made light of what God gave him. And so he's essentially, for you and I as Christians, God is holy. God is righteous. God loves us. Don't cheat on God with sin. Right? Don't fornicate with the world. Don't fornicate with the flesh, okay? Die to self and live for Christ. And so he says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person. I mean, he was profane. I mean, typically we think of profane as profanity, okay? The idea, it's repulsive, it's gross, it's wrong, it's bad. And that's what his testimony was. Now, God loved him. Don't get me wrong. God loved him at all, like anyone else. God loves all sinners. But because of what he did, that was really bad. He was a profane person. He did wrong. As Esau is the example, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And what's so heartbreaking is, and we will turn to that story in a bit here. It's so tragic because he had it. It was his to lose. He didn't have to earn it, right? He just had it. And he sold it. He gave out to it. Now, if you're saved by confessing, that would show that you truly believe, okay? You truly believe in your heart, you will confess with your mouth. And when you truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're saved. He saves you, makes you a new creature in Christ forever. You're adopted in God's family, you inherit eternal life, and you are born again. And when you are born again, you have that new birth, and that new birth, God gives that certain rights, okay? You have an inheritance that's undefiled, okay? And your salvation, you can never lose your salvation. And so, that said, our testimony on earth as a Christian, don't sell that out. We'll be tempted to, don't sell it out. Be thankful for it, okay? Because, yes, we cannot lose our salvation, and we can't sell out Jesus in the sense that we end up going to hell. But we can certainly deny him like Peter did, okay? We can certainly do things that we will regret, okay? And yes, I'm so thankful for God's mercy because if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how amazing God is. Once you are saved forever and nothing can separate you from God. That's fantastic. But we sure can do things in this life, even as a Christian. Newsflash, Christians still sin. Christians still mess up. And if we sell out and it's good and we can come back, that's wonderful. But if, I don't know, if it's weeks, if it's months, if it's years of our life that we live in sin and then we regret it later, you can't get that back. Now, we can make right with God. That's wonderful. But we can't get back what we lost. Okay, so don't ever sell out. And if we are not as thankful as we should be, we'll be very prone to be selling out. Okay, we'll see what happens to Esau, that slippery slope that happens to him. Because it says in verse 17, for ye know, I mean, this is common knowledge. We know this. We've seen it for everyone else, but we need to apply it to ourselves. For ye know how that afterward, that's kind of the key word, when he sold his birthright. Now, again, Jacob, could he have been a better brother? Well, yeah. Okay, Jacob could have been a better brother. He goes, hey, it's okay. Don't worry. I can see you're very faint. Here's just half my porridge or his pottage. Just half my soup. He could have just done that, be a good brother. He didn't, okay? But still, the choice was Esau to sell. And it might have appeared good at the time, but later on he regretted it, right? And that's isn't this how sin works with us? Kind of felt good at the time, and then later on you're like, oh, why did I do that? And you can think of so many, from the smallest thing, to, I don't know, just why a spouse would cheat on their spouse, you know? And it felt good at the time. I was angry, and now I regret it, you know? And you can't undo it. So don't sell out. And so for ye know how that afterward, so later, in fact, this is years later, when he would have inherited the blessing. Now, this is huge because this is years later when dad Isaac is about to die. In fact, he thought he was going to die. He still stayed alive for a while yet after. But when his dad thought that he was going to die, Isaac, remember Isaac says to Esau, hey, I won't be around very much longer. Can you give me my make me one last meal? Okay, I've always loved your soup, your savory meat. Can you go hunt me a fresh one? Make it for me, then I can bless you. I mean, so that's what dad liked, you know, and so he wanted to do that. And so dad had intended full well to bless Esau, okay? But the Bible says here he was rejected. And so even though Isaac wanted to bless Esau, God rejected him. And yes, Jacob did it in subtlety, I get that, okay? And Rebecca told him, you know, but God had orchestrated that. And God was the one that made sure it happened in his providence to make sure that Jacob got it, okay? Because Esau had despised his birthright. And so God was the one that rejected him, even though dad wanted to bless him. Dad was none the wiser, okay? And dad got tricked and all that. But it was God that rejected him. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance. And once the blessing was given, even though it was accidentally given to Jacob, Isaac didn't intend it, it was still legit. I mean, whoever Isaac blessed, that was the blessing. And he gave it to Jacob. You remember how Esau was so heartbroken. And it didn't matter what he did, it was done. Though he sought it carefully with tears. I mean, he could seek everywhere, but he couldn't undo it. My friends, don't sell out. Don't sell out. Once you sell out, you can't get it back. Now you can, you know, rebuild and repent and go on from there. But you can't undo the damage that you've done. You can't gain back what you've lost. I mean, you can stop bleeding, okay, when you repent. That's great. But what you lost, we've lost, okay? This is huge. A thankful heart goes hand in hand with our holiness and our walk with God, okay? To have a thankful heart goes hand in hand with our holiness and our walk with God. In fact, if you back up with me to verse 14 and 15, I'm going to read that real quick just to kind of give us some context here. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. When we finally see God, he is holy, holy, holy. He is thrice holy. The only thing that when we see him, he will be completely holy, okay? And because we are saved, now it's not saying that we have to live the perfect holy life, otherwise we're not going to heaven. It's not saying that. But what it's saying is because we are saved, he is holy, we should be holy because he is holy. And the only way when we finally see God, he will be pure holiness. That's a wonderful thing. And until then, verse 15, looking diligently, this is what we ought to be doing, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. And so we are saved by God's grace. We are saved to serve God. What God has given us is this free gift of eternal life by his love and his mercy and his grace to us. Don't squander it, okay? Live up to what God wants us to be, okay? So don't fail the grace of God. And this is not saying that this works. We are saved by grace. But now that we're saved, do what God wants us to do, all right? Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, okay? And so a root of bitterness is perhaps some anger or some you've been wronged at some point in your life and it's not obvious on the outside. A root, of course, is underneath the ground, but it grows and grows over time like a cancer. And eventually it can snake and erupt out of the soil, And if you're not paying attention, my friends, if you're not put away that malice, if you're not put away that anger, if you're not put away that bitterness, you'll trip over it, meaning that we'll stumble out of the way, we'll be offended, we'll get upset, and then we'll sell out. Okay, so this leads us to selling out. Okay, springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Okay, and so being bitter is not just a rare thing. A lot of us, you could always say, you could even say all of us, can be tempted to be bitter. Who's been wronged? Everyone's been wrong. Yeah, we've all been wrong, right? At some point, could be a big thing, could be a small thing. I've been wronged in my life. This shouldn't happen. Oh, and we get upset about it. And you hurt me. Oh, God, why did you let it happen? And we can be bitter at man. We can be bitter at God. We feel like we've been wronged. And thereby many be defiled. In fact, the idea is many Christians can be corrupted by bitterness. You know, we are happy for some things, but there's still some things in us that I wish this didn't happen, or how can I do that, okay? And so that bitterness is that poison, right? And then that leads us to verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And when we are bitter at life, bitter at events, who orchestrated that? God did. When we are bitter at God, my friends, is going to tempt us to be not as thankful. In fact, we might even make light of who God is and what is done for us. Don't care about it. And then we just sell out. I was talking to my son yesterday. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I know I need to read my Bible, but it's hard sometimes. And I get it. I mean, I'm busy. I'm tired. I mean, it's, you know, to read God's Word. People died to get this Word to us. People fought and died so we can assemble here today. This just didn't happen, okay? There were martyrs that gave their life. Saints of old that would give their right arm and left arm, right foot, left foot, to read the whole Word of God, which we have, you know? And so it's all about perspective. Be thankful for what we have, because when we are truly thankful for what we have, we won't sell out. Okay, let's go to Genesis. This is the account here of Esau selling out. Go to Genesis 25 with me, and here's the, not to say scary part, but here's the warning for us. If we are not thankful the way that we should be, it wouldn't take much for us to sell out, okay? And perhaps, you know, if we've been sheltered in certain circumstances, perhaps I've never sold out. We've never sold out because we just haven't had the opportunity to. You know, I think of children as they come of age. Think of a man who has been married for, you know, maybe married for 30 years, never cheated on his wife. Hey, that's wonderful. But maybe he just never had the opportunity. If you remember to when Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife, she wanted him. He just had to consent. And there's a difference in not selling out versus no one wants what you're selling, okay? That's what I'm saying. And the idea is we have to be truly thankful. Otherwise, at the first opportunity, we'll be tempted to sell out. So Genesis 25, this is the account of Esau when he, well, sadly, years later, Scripture talks about this to warn us not to do this. But look at verse 29. So Genesis 25, verse 29. In fact, let's back up a bit to verse 27. It talks about the boys as they're growing up. And notice what it says here. And the boys grew. So two brothers. Esau was a what? Cunning hunter. Yeah, he's a cunning hunter. He knows what he's doing. He's the man of the field. He's a tough guy, man's man. You know, he's kind of a hairy guy. Okay, I'm just saying. That's just how he is. He's phenomenal with hunting. I don't know, throwing the spear, shooting the bow. I mean, setting traps. I mean, he's kind of the man. But as skillful as he was, if all those things, at some point, he's still going to fail. And we're going to see what happens here on this particular day. His skills didn't serve him well, and he was very hungry for, I'm guessing, days. Okay, but anyway, so he was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents, so kind of the indoor type. Okay, anyway, verse 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. Which, by the way, this is It's not a parenting conference, okay? But it's parents don't play favorites, okay? And I can see myself like Isaac here. You know, I'm a foodie, okay? I live to eat, okay? And it's easy for Isaac, oh, Esau's venison stew, oh, that's my favorite, you know, and Jacob didn't bring anything to the table, so he's, eh. Okay, but I'm just saying, I mean, it's just very, very human here, and maybe it kind of got, the boys kind of bitter at each other, right? You like dad more, dad love you more, mom love me more, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob, and so he was mama's boy, all right? Now, what happened? So years later, fast forward, this is years later, and Jacob saw, so he's boiling some pottage, okay, some soup, some lentils, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. He's faint right now, he's tired, he's weary, and of course, he's hungry, and Esau said to Jacob, so he sees his brother, you know, stewing some food, he comes over, he says, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. And so the color of the soup was kind of reddish, okay, because of the lentils. For I am faint. Now this is, God goes out of the way here to point something to us. Therefore was his name called Edom. Now this is a tough pill to swallow. Edom means red. And so because of this giving in to his flesh, because of this one compromise in his life, because of this, because he's selling out here, he kind of gets the nickname of Red, okay? Because he did the foolish thing, selling his birthright for some red soup, okay? And so he gets the moniker, he gets the nickname Red. Can you imagine for the rest of his life, whenever other tribe people see him, you know, they don't call him Esau anymore, they say, hey, it's Red! Okay, quit rubbing it in. And people say, hey, you know that, you know Red? He said, why do you call him Red? Because he sold his birthright for some red soup. He did what? Yeah, well, that's what he did. That's the story of Esau. Now we call him Edom. And so that his whole life, he's called red, the Edomites, the red people, okay, whatever. I'm just saying, I mean, that haunted him for his whole day, his whole life, because of this one moment, right? This one moment in time. Okay, so now Jacob, again, he could be a better brother, of course, but the thing is, if he had truly been thankful and appreciated his birthright, he would not have sold it, okay? And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright, okay? He's pouncing on the attack. He's always wanted this from day one. He was grabbing the heel. He's a supplanter, okay? That's Jacob's doing that. And Esau said, but he kind of goes along with it. Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And this is huge, my friends, because if we are not truly thankful for what we should be thankful for, the present need is always going to outweigh the future blessing. Okay? It's like, well, that's down the road. That is future Esau's problem. Right now, a present Esau is hungry. I got this appetite. I want to be satisfied. I want to feed my flesh. Okay. Sounds good. And Jacob, I mean, he's like, sign here. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Now let this sink in a bit. I don't know, I've never had any young, I'm the youngest of two. I've only had a big sister. But I always wish that I could at least have a younger sibling. That way they can they can call me big brother. Yeah, I thought that sounds kind of cool. Okay, I never had that privilege. And can you imagine if you've got younger siblings, you know, they call you big brother, big sister. I don't know. If I would like to think if I had younger siblings that call me big brother, especially if they were naughty, okay, I would not trade that for anything. And so what Esau here is saying, he's selling his birthright. And so like, Jacob, you be the big brother now. Like, man. You get all the rights that the firstborn gets. You get the double portion. That's okay. I'll trade it. I'll sell it all for this soup, this red soup. Don't sell out, my friends. The testimony that Jesus died for you. He saved you from your sins. If you're saved, you've been born again. You have a birthright as a child of God. Don't sell out of your Christian testimony. Don't sell out of your Bible. Don't sell out in your prayer life. Don't sell out when it comes to coming to church. Don't sell out to walking with the Lord. Don't sell out on your marriage. Don't sell out on your spouse. Don't sell out on your family. Don't sell out on your children, because you can lose them and you can try to make it right later on, but you'll never get back what you've lost, even though you try seeking it with many tears. And so poor Esau, years later, you know, he's bawling his eyes out. Of course, he gets bitter. I'm going to kill that guy. We'll see what that blessing does now. Okay, and so they parted. Now, they make up at the end. That's wonderful. But years of brotherhood, they lost. They were apart for when Jacob was with Laban. Okay, and so that don't sell out. You have to be thankful for what God has given us. So he sells his birthright. Look at what it says here, verse 34. And so, in fact, there's no buyer's remorse. Not yet. He will later. But look at verse 34. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, rose up, and went his way. I mean, he didn't even, like, while he was eating it, he was like, you know what, Jacob, can I take that back? You know, he didn't even do that. He just said, hey, no problem. He just, no big deal. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, to despise is a very specific word. It means not just hate. But to despise means you hate because you look down on. You think it's beneath you. You think it's unworthy. You think it's garbage. You think it's not worthwhile. There's no value. And so he despised his birthright. He didn't care that he was the oldest. He didn't care that dad would give him double. He's like, Dad, I don't even want, you know, maybe he's had some falling out, whatever. But it's just hard because he never truly appreciated what he should have. And having an unthankful spirit will cause us to sell out even at the slightest temptation. I mean, he doesn't take much. And since he didn't value it, sure, you want this? Good. I didn't care for it anyway. Well, unfortunately, later on, when he wanted it, it was too late. He tried to find repentance with tears, couldn't find it. When the Bible tells us to watch diligently for roots of bitterness, right? So instead of trying to find repentance when we can't find it, spend our time looking for roots of bitterness and anger and wrath that can trip us up. Because when we get tripped up, we get frustrated and like, fine, I'm done with this Christian thing. I'm done serving God. I'm done with my marriage. I'm done with my home life. I'm done with whatever. Don't sell out. Now, yes, I know I need to be thankful. And is thankful just a state of mind? Because I'm like, well, I want to be thankful. I sure don't feel thankful. So how can I be thankful? Well, here's food for thought. Thankfulness, yes, is the catalyst to holiness and is the antidote to bitterness. But the only way to be truly thankful, it comes, here it is, by growing in the Lord. The only way to be thankful is you have to mature as a Christian. That is the only way. You can give a toddler a $1,000 bill. Do they even have that? I've never seen it. I've never seen a $100 bill. No, I'm just saying, you know, you can give a toddler $1 million for his birthday. The toddler probably might not appreciate that as much as if you gave him a Happy Meal. Right? But you give a teenager, say, hey, you want a Happy Meal or $1 million? Like, I'll take $1 million. Because as you get matured, as you get older, you appreciate things that you don't as a youth. The only way we appreciate and then be thankful for what we have from God as a birthright, as being a child of God, a birthright to the kingdom, is to grow in our walk with the Lord, okay? To mature, okay? This is huge. Go with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Because we'll see this play out with Esau. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's go to verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 1 and then verse 9. And the Word of God says, but he that lacketh these things, now we'll see what those are in a bit, but verse 9, he that lacketh these things, so you don't have it, is blind and cannot see afar off. And in fact, the idea is if we are not spiritually mature, here's an indicator of your spiritual maturity. The more matured of a person you are, you tend to see things more in long term. The immature would see things right now in short term. The mature will see things in long term. That's the reason why it's hard to save for your retirement when you're young. Because we're immature, right? But when we finally get there, we're like, oh man, I wish I'd been saving. I'm just saying, the idea is, without my glasses, I can't see very far. I'm blind. I'm not blind, but I can see what I can't see. Okay, and so I can't see very far. The idea here is, without spiritual maturity, we are just spiritually short-sighted. We're just thinking of right now. We're thinking of feels good. makes me good, looks good. We're just thinking of the now and now. The spiritual mature think of what's to come, right? And cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The idea, this is to believers. And if we are not spiritually matured, we don't even realize why we were saved. We forget why we were saved. We were saved to grow. Every parent wants their child to grow, right? We've done this before. I mean, it's cute when they have a newborn. But if the kid is 10 years old and still in diapers, that's a problem, right? If the kid is 25 years old, fully grown adult, but not having a job and not doing things an adult should do, that should not be the case. Okay, the idea is, yes, the parent loves the child, but you want to see the child grow. I mean, that's the whole point. God loves us. When we are saved and born again, that's rejoicing even in the presence of the angels in heaven. That's God himself rejoicing when a sinner gets saved and comes to repentance. That's wonderful. But it doesn't stop there. It starts there. Then you have to grow. And the idea in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things, that's verse 5. And beside this, once you're saved, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, temperance, to keep adding, keep growing, to temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. And so that's the idea, to grow in our walk with God. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be a matured Christian, to grow. That is the only way that we can gain appreciation for what we have, is that we grow in our walk with the Lord. Colossians chapter 2 goes hand in hand with this. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and then verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6. Now that we are saved, look at this, verse 6. For ye have therefore, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So those who have received him as Lord and saved, those who believe, those who are saved, so walk ye in him. Once you've received him, don't just stay put. Walk in him. And how? Rooted and built up in him. And so we are grounded in him. And so we're not going to be tossed to and fro. And then we're built up in him. The idea is growing like a mighty oak tree, a mighty pine tree. Deeply rooted in Christ. And then a tall and growing bark and branches. And establish in the faith. So when the storms come, we won't be blown over. As ye have been taught. And then when this all happens, notice what it says in verse 7. Abounding, that means more, you know, like a snowball effect. Abounding therein, in our spiritual growth, with what? Thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is not just being thankful. Thanksgiving is giving off thanks. And you can't give what you don't have. And so when it comes to, God wants us to give thanks. But we can only truly give thanks when we are first thankful, full of thanks. And we can only be first full of thanks when we have been rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as we have been taught. Okay, and so growing in our walk with God, add to our faith virtue. As we grow in our walk with God, our thankfulness increases. When our thankfulness increases, then we can give thanks to God. Amen? In fact, if you go to verse 3, same chapter of Colossians 2, verse 3, look up with me. It says, in whom, this is Christ Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But you've got to seek it out. If someone told you, like, hey, you bought this house, you're the new owner? Oh, man, did you know that the previous owner, he loved to collect gold bars, and he would hide it in the house. Like, yeah, wow, I wonder if he took it. And then you're like, oh, yeah. Only one way to find out, and you know, now he's stripping the whole house down right now, none here. The idea is if there's treasure, if you get it, if you understand how valuable that treasure is, you'll do all that you can to get it. And once you do have it, you'll do all that you can not to sell out, right? You'll keep it. Someone comes to you, you got a gold bar. I don't know what it's worth these days. But someone comes to you and say, hey, that's a pretty nifty looking gold bar. I'll give you $100 for it. Who would say yes? Good deal. Yeah, you guys are all smart guys. You're like, no, it's worth way more than $100. And a couple more zeros. I don't know what the price of gold. I'm just saying, if you truly understand how precious is what you have, he won't sell it, right? And so that's part of, you know, that's how we do business. The sad part is so many of us, like Esau. Yeah, I'm saved. I guess that's kind of good, you know. And, oh, I have my Bible. I guess this is kind of nice, you know. And I get to pray. I guess that's not a bad option. I mean, if we truly understand what we have, we will use it, exercise it, cherish it, value it, and we'll never sell out. We'll never sell out. In fact, let's turn to, let's go back to Hebrews. Let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And then verse 17. And poor Esau. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, when the time came to reckon, my friends, at one point in our life, you will stand before God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you will stand before God. If you're a rejecter of Jesus Christ, you will also stand before God. At one day, all of us, the Bible says, it is appointed to man once to die. In other words, our death will not be accident. It won't be random. It won't be just whenever, whatever, however. We might not know how we would die, but God does. And that death, way, and time is appointed. God knows it. You're not going to be late for it. Doesn't matter if you don't want it. It's going to happen. And then the Bible says, and after that, the judgment. And so one day you will stand before God, my friend. You will have to reckon whether you are a believer in Jesus Christ, whether you are a rejecter of Jesus Christ. At that point, when it's being reckoned, when you are judged, it's too late to do anything at that point. The time of doing is done. At that point, you're going to be rewarded if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, or you're going to be damned if you had rejected Jesus Christ. At that time, now these are two separate judgments, okay, but it's a judgment nonetheless, okay? At that time, if you're saved, if you're a believer, if you serve God well, He has crowns for you. And at that point, it's going to be too late for me to think, oh, if only I didn't sell out, if only I, for this time in my life, it was kind of the dark ages of my life, if only, coulda, woulda, shoulda, it's too late. Regret will get us nowhere. At that time, if I realize, oh, if only I had done this, if only I had done that, it's not going to help. Be thankful right now. That's why the writer to the Hebrews is telling them right now. Don't be like Esau. Be thankful, or else we'll be tempted to sell out. It might seem like such something so trivial, but if we are not spiritually matured, our focus will be on now and now. It won't be on the future. We'll be seeking our own joy, not the kingdom of God. We'll be doing things that please flesh, not please the Father. And one day we'll regret it. My friends, here's faith. If you don't sell out, if you are thankful for what you have, and even though you might feel like selling out, don't sell out. Stay true to the Lord. Because not even trust me, trust God. Because one day when you stand before Him, you'll be so thankful that you didn't sell out. You'll be praising God like, oh Lord, you're so amazing. I'm so thankful that I didn't sell out. Be thankful, or else. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne and we confess we are a needy people. We are a sinful people. And Father, help me, Lord, not to be like Esau. Lord, in my flesh, Lord, I want to sell out the good name of being a Christian. Sell out the pleasures of a season. And so, Father, help me, help us to truly be thankful for what we have, our salvation, for who we have, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we never sell out, Lord. Help us not to be bitter, Lord, that can trip us up in being thankful. Help us, Lord, to truly be content and to truly appreciate and recognize all that we have. The eternal life that we have, it cost Jesus Christ everything. We praise you, Father, for who you are. We give thanks to you, Father, because for your mercy endureth forever. And bless this rest of the service, Lord. Bless this invitation prayer time even now. In Jesus' name, every head bowed and every eye closed.